In the Long Run is the name of a new book by our friend CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod. It's less about his travels around the world as one of TV's busiest correspondents and more about Jim's personal challenge to get himself into shape. And he has help along the way from his late father. Jim, welcome.
Steve, thanks so much for having me.
So you have a stressful job. You're a news correspondent for CBS. And one day you're putting on your suit pants and you get a rude awakening.
Yeah, I my favorite suit, too. I put on the pants, I button them up, and all of a sudden the next sound I hear is that awful sound of fabric ripping. And I realize, wait a minute, I don't think I weigh exactly what I think I weigh. My mind's eye, the reality, is different than my own image of myself, metaphorical, to say the least.
And about this same time, a friend just out of nowhere happens to dig up your late father's New York City marathon times from way back in the 1980s, and he emails them to you, and the wheels start turning.
Yeah, I knew I had some issues, and my knot between my ears needed some untangling, and the one between my ribs as well. And my buddy sends me my dad's marathon records, and my first reaction as I look at them is, hey, I wonder if I could beat those times. Which was a ridiculous question for a guy who's 30 pounds overweight to be asking, but it also kind of flicked the light switch on, hey, maybe I'm measuring my own life by somebody else's yardstick. And that was the beginning of understanding and a process that took the next couple of years to figure out.
Like a lot of us, and I'll raise my hand on this one, your father cast a large shadow over your life, both while he was alive and then after he died as well, as it turns out.
My father was a brilliant trial lawyer in New Jersey, a larger-than-life personality, a great guy, a wonderful man, but a little overburdened, overstretched, and wasn't always acquainted with the concept of his own happiness. And so as I began to try to figure out how to live a happier life and understanding I needed to solve the riddle of my relationship with my father in the process, I realized that this guy, his shadow was something I needed to get right with. The problem was he was gone for 8 years by the time I was trying to make sense of our relationship.
When I read your book, I had an idea from the very beginning. This was, you were going to find your late father's marathon time, and you were going to run a marathon, and you were going to try to challenge his time, and we'll get to that. I didn't know about the personal demons and struggles you were having with, for lack of a better word, insecurities about your performance as a news correspondent.
You know, I was engaged in a process, and that is the life I intended to live the life I am living? In the gap between those two resides the potential for great unhappiness. And so I needed to ask myself some questions about, was I living the life I wanted to live, and confront some things like professional insecurities that you're talking about, because they were robbing me of sustained sense of well-being.
But anybody who's seen you on television, whether it's covering the White House or covering the War on Terror, or back in the old days in Syracuse, bungee jumping without a net, is thinking, what is this guy worried about his career? He's at the top.
Steve, you know what? I drive on a bus or a train from Manhattan to suburban New Jersey every day, and I see it etched on the faces of so many people. You're 20 years into a life and a career, and no matter who you are or what you're doing, you're wondering, hey, am I doing all right? I think we, all of us, not just me, but all of us, and no matter what level of quote-unquote achievement you are at, that doesn't necessarily translate to happiness, to well-being.
I asked you to pick and read for us a passage in your book that you find really impactful to you. I read the book from cover to cover, and I'm really curious to hear the passage that you picked.
Well, I picked a passage that really sums up very neatly the moment where I realized I wasn't going to come anywhere close to my father's marathon time, and how maybe it really didn't matter at the end of the day. 9 months after I'd hatched the idea of running the marathon and committed myself to reclaiming my body, I couldn't run 1 mile, never mind 26.2. If the idea of running the marathon seemed laughable, the idea of running it faster than my dad was delusional. There was no question. He'd been faster, stronger, and fitter. He had more commitment, dedication, and drive. It didn't take a mastery of Freud to explain the competition that I'd set up with my dad. By so many measures, my dynamic, charismatic father had been enormously successful. He'd built a top-shelf legal practice, enjoyed a sterling reputation as a courtroom wizard, and made a lot of money along the way. He owned two beautiful houses, put four kids through college and a wife through grad school. He wore Armani, drove a Jaguar, and picked up every check he could reach. He'd set a hell of a pace. The marathon offered the simplest, most literal way to surpass it. And yet, as I lingered at the bottom of the stairs, staring at this picture that had captured him at his happiest, I was struck by a competing thought. For years, he'd also been plagued by confusion, seemingly incapable of generating any sustained joy for himself, anywhere other than the courtroom or a running trail. He was often alienated from his wife and distant with his kids, and he kept friends at arm's length, lest they come too close.
One of the things that really struck me about the book is how it kind of moves back and forth through time. One moment, you're a young kid going to Yankee Stadium with your dad, and he's teaching you how to shake hands with people, firm handshake. Then you're training for a marathon, and your leg's killing you to the point where you're climbing up the stairs sideways like your grandfather. Was it Pop-Pop Mo?
Absolutely. That's so wonderful.
You're kind of crabbing up the stairs.
You know, it's funny, though. That's how I solved my problems. That's how I made sense of my issues, by running, and there's nothing more reliable or dependable than your own stretch of the road, but working through all those old memories and placing them in some context, going back and forth, that was the key for me finding sustained happiness.
After reading your book, I was left with a life lesson, and it was summed up in five words that your brother told you.
Slow down, you'll go farther.
Isn't that something?
You know, it's my brother's a really smart guy. And those five words, I'm so glad to hear that's your takeaway, because you know what? That really is the lesson of the book for me. Slow down. You'll go farther.
So here you are in 2011. You look great.
Thank you.
You look like you could run another marathon. I don't know if that's in the cards. But did you find some personal peace in this training with your late father as your training partner?
Yeah, I really did. And that's a great way to put it. It's a very comforting thought, Steve, the way you put that. He was my training partner, and he set me up for what I hope will be a second half of life that is much more serene, calm, and marked by well-being. He really set me up for the long run.
Now, you have a book signing coming up tomorrow. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'll be at the Barnes & Noble on the Upper West Side, 82nd and Broadway. It's 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and I'm really looking forward to sort of taking some questions and chatting with some folks about these ideas that are designed to help everybody examine and hopefully find their own happiness.
The book is called In the Long Run by CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod. It's available now both in print and as an ebook. Jim, thanks for coming in, and good luck with the book.
Steve, I'm grateful for the time. Thank you.